It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
There we go. 4 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company this hour in Northern Nevada, Southern Nevada, presented by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. In the north, you got to dial 775-766-1400. Willie's here. Griffin, it's Cofield. Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
There, we talked about the weird offensive game for the Raiders on Monday Night Football. The Texans weren't exactly lighting it up last night. They had a spectacular touchdown hookup between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. Beyond that, was anyone else thinking, man, C.J. Stroud kind of looks different than he did a couple of years ago? There's been a little bit of a regression here. He was missing on some pretty easy passes that if you're a top 10 quarterback, you got to deliver. So I wanted to ask you guys, after a couple weeks, are there some questions that, or check that, are there some quarterbacks that you're questioning? I have Stroud in that list. Aaron Rodgers last week did not look great. And then there is Caleb Williams. Any of them, or do you just want to fire back the way I usually say, and that's, you know, relax, it's early?
How about Bo Nix?
It's a good one.
Bo Nix with a quarterback rating of 82. He's thrown 4 touchdowns. He's also thrown 3 interceptions.
I personally thought the league was going to catch up with him a little bit in year number two. When you have a good rookie year, which isn't always the case with most quarterbacks, year two can be hell.
Yeah, his touchdown percentage is 5.7%. As I said, four TDs. But the interception 4.3 is troublesome. It's problematic when that's when, you know, Sean Payton came in and they were supposed to have built this relationship. And I know it's only 2 games in, but that's not supposed to be the area of concern. And right now on that offense, I think that's an area of concern that you have to look at. And I'm not saying he needs to be the best quarterback, but when you look at league averages across the board, he's well below the scale.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy answer for me, Caleb Williams. And I'm going to push back on it's too early, Steve. I'm going to push back on that because, again, this is not his first reps as an NFL quarterback. He did have last season. Now, he's had different offensive coordinators. He's had different head coaches, and we understand that, and we give that to him. But at the same time, like we've said, this is year two now for you. You are now with a competent offensive coordinator slash head coach. A lot of weapons on the field, a lot of updates to their offensive line, to, you know, the receivers, the tight ends that he has. Even I think DeAndre Swift's even a pretty, you know, one of the better backs in the league. I think he's really great. It's just a matter of, can this guy get his head wrapped around the idea of sitting in the pocket and playing within the system of his offense? I don't know if he can. I guess it is too early to say that he absolutely can't, but I don't like what I've seen so far, and there needs to be some type of improvement, or else, again, next season there's going to be talks about the Bears looking at quarterback options.
I think it's early. I know you just stated your whole case. I still think I got to see Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams together for like 10-12 games against different opponents. I don't want to make excuses, but, you know, they were walking into a real interesting spot here with the Lions, but he has not impressed so far. Number three.
Number three.
Michael Vick, you know what he's doing now?
Coaching.
Yeah, he's coaching at Norfolk State.
Yeah.
Rough game this past weekend. What are you going to do, right? High-quality Rutgers team. They lost 60-10, although they actually moved the ball on the ground pretty well. Deion Sanders has done, I'll say, a solid job at multiple stops in college football. I think this year is going to be a little bit rougher for Deion, and we're going to see some of his true colors.
Fade the Buffs.
I think definitely fade the Buffs. Virginia Tech is open. Michael Vick is a VTech legend. Should Virginia Tech hire Michael Vick? Just like Deion, turn around a program like that.
Not with immediacy, because Deion went to HBCU route and turned that around first.
He put in a lot more time.
Yeah. And he was somewhere before that. Can't remember where. Was it high school or
Something with Prime Prep high school.
But that's it. Nevertheless, but it's something. So
he also took a job in Colorado that was very dormant. While Virginia Tech hasn't been good, they have immense fan support.
It's a major step.
They are supported with money. They should be at least a middle part to upper part of a, you know, program in the ACC. right now, Michael Vick probably not ready, and they're going to have some good candidates who want to take that job.
Right. So the question that you posed, anybody could say, yeah, absolutely. But when is the bigger question? So it's a matter of, you know, getting some experience under your belt. I mean, down the road, whoever you bring in to follow Brent Pry and whatever takes place, a 2-year, 3-year contract, now you take a look at what Vic does and the experience and how he grows as a coach, then maybe you consider. But now, no.
Will Michael Vick be able to get a big-time FBS job with the dog stuff in the past?
Yes, I think so.
Will he be forgiven?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that there's – at this point, there's not going to be any people – anybody that's forgiven him or people that just said it is what it is, anybody that's still against him, the complete, you know, PETA, the dog lovers.
You love dogs? How do you get over it?
He served
How do you
time.
Look Kalua in the face?
He served time.
You have the newspaper open at home. Michael Vick gets a job. Kalua's like...
I got an email today, by the way, from a major dog company. Kalua's going to be featured in a calendar.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So like,
I submitted the picture.
But muscle and fitness for dogs?
No, but I think I read into the gimmick of this.
Yeah.
They probably fielded all these photos.
Sure.
And then they have like... 1,200 different designs.
Right.
Everybody's dog made it. Because guess what came with the congratulations? By the way, 30% off if you want to buy 4 more calendars with Kalua. Oh, and what month is he? May. When's my birthday? May. Oh, how convenient.
What a guess.
Great gimmick.
Very random.
Fantastic gimmick. Love it.
Number 2.
All right, so Bucks win last night. I feel like the Bucks are one of the most under-the-radar solid teams in the NFL. They have won an NFC South. You know, it hasn't been a great division, but Baker Mayfield, again, has rejuvenated his career. He had a monster year a year ago. Last night, he was really good. When it counted the most, he freaking brought him back. He made plays with his legs. I'm a stand for a lot of players around the NFL. I don't know how Emeka Ogbuka got to the Buccaneers, a good team, and they get a receiver like that. Jason Licht is a good GM. They've retooled their running back room. They've developed a defense. They've got a good offensive line. And hell, they're all beat up right now. Worse. Out. And last night, they took care of business. Can I make the argument that the Buccaneers are the number 3 team in the NFC? Behind the Packers and the Eagles.
Nope. You cannot. Because there have been times...
I was like, you have to say something because I know I've been shut
down.
There
have been times in the last however long in that we've always asked the question at some point... Is the NFC West the best division in the NFC? And look where we're at. There's 3-2-0 teams there. So ask yourself, if you threw the Buccaneers in the NFC West, where do they rank among the Cardinals, Rams, and so forget about Green Bay and Philly.
Best team.
Cardinals, Rams, 49ers. Right now, I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah, they're better than the Rams. They're definitely better than the Niners. And
yeah,
they're better
you're
than
wrong.
The Cardinals.
You're wrong.
Buccaneers are 10-1 on William Hill's NFC conference championship odds. Eagles plus 350. Number 1 team is now the Packers at plus 335, just ahead of Philly. Lions 7-1. Niners plus 850. Man, I don't get the Niner love. Rams plus 850, then the Bucks. So technically the Bucks are sitting there in, what, the 6th hole.
I'll take the Rams with my guy Devontae Adams. What do you call him? What's your
Energy Vampire.
Energy Vampire.
Anytime you...
Mr.
You need the energy sucked out of the room because he's got something to complain about, even when you're winning.
Comes
I didn't get the targets.
He arrives in Philadelphia after recording his 33rd career game with at least 100 receiving yards and a touchdown reception last week. He's pretty good.
He's very good.
And you know what else? Sean McVay, Los Angeles can begin the season 3-0 for the fourth time since Sean McVay was hired in 2017. So there's a little bit of consistency there.
We're going to find out later on. We'll lean on one of the experts from the Sporting Tribune. Do we think that Sean McVay – I got to read up on this plantar fascia tear. Is that a walking boot deal, or is he going to have the one-legged cart?
I was wondering
that. Or will he be on a scooter?
He might have both.
Philly grass or artificial
turf? You have to keep your foot. Like,
oh, you do?
Yeah.
Why, do you know people who have had this plantar fascia tear?
My ex-wife.
Do we want to get into this?
No, it's fun. She had surgery on it.
Oh boy,
it's not fun.
I know. It's not a joke.
No, it's not fun. So, Hers never tore, but she had to. But they cut it.
So wait, so you're saying the one-legged cart? You got to keep it up all the time?
She didn't have the. I don't remember her having the cart, but she was in a boot, and she was a nurse.
I don't think the boot's not effective on a sideline. Can't move.
Yeah, I think. But I think the cart they're also, doing. I mean, they gotta have the. I think that he's gotta have.
You don't have good grass or like a artificial turf with seams. You imagine going tumbling over because the one-legged cart hits a seam.
If I'm McVay, I'm doing anything I can to avoid the scooter. It's such a headache trying to maneuver on a NFL sideline, but just football sideline
right.
General.
Did you have one?
I had a couple of injuries where I was, you know, I had to be on either a scooter or I had crutches. Dude, there's no room. There's no room for you to have any kind of ailment and then having to take up space because you got the entire team who's playing and then you're running, you know, you're trying to move over to get closer to your position group because they're meeting and huddling over here. But then you actually are running over, you know, the toes of teammates and the feet of coaches. It's so annoying. So I don't think PTSD. It's very, it's not
doable. He's got a lot of PTSD.
This one stuck with him.
He was the walking wounded most of his college career.
Yeah.
Sad. Top story.
Number one.
Okay, NFL backups on center stage this weekend. Let's just go with Purdy's out. So let's go with these NFL backups. And Jaden Daniels is out. It's not official yet. Commanders -3.5 against the Raiders. Mariota is a quarterback. Bengals and Vikings. Bengals +3 against the Vikings. It's Browning against Wentz. Double backup. Jets are getting 7 against the Bucks. Tygod Taylor. For the Jets, Niners, Mac Jones laying 1.5 against the Cardinals at home. What's your best bet in that group of four? If you have to play something,
Niners against my Cardinals that are in your bet.
Yep.
You and I both talked about this last week. We had someone on, but we were talking about who I think it was Sammy P. The fact that the Saints and the wise guys, the Sharps, and everybody else moved that number, and we're going gung ho. Yet we spent so long talking about how bad the Saints were. But the 49ers have a guy who has a lot of starting experience. Whether he's had success or not, experience counts for something. This is a division game. I would take the 49ers against Arizona.
Griffin, you got a game you want to take with one of these backups?
I honestly was...
And by the way, you can play against the backup if you wanted to, I guess. You can say, hey, all four backups suck, and I'm going to pick
a playing blowout. The backup.
Yeah, so I'm going to play a backup, too.
I'd play the backup. I agree with Willie.
Actually, I changed the rules. You got to take a backup. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, got to take a backup. I would agree with Willie, especially what he said about Mac Jones. He has starting experience, but we can't also forget, Mac Jones, if you believe reports, was the guy that Shanahan wanted originally when they took Trey Lance.
I think that was a bunch of bunk. I think they were playing games.
Could have been a bunch of bunk.
But arrogant era. With that organization where they were like, we're going to screw around with people.
Do we have clarification on what bunk is?
Up there on the break.
Okay.
It's a bunch of bull, you know what, bull pucky, whatever pucky is too. This part, I'm going to follow up on this.
Yeah.
This part of the show.
Where's your pick?
I'm going to give my pick. Well, that's going to be the Bengals. I love Jake Browning. And now I get a chance to go against old man Carson Wentz. Jackson's Bar and Grill, check him out. Pre-game, post-game. Headquarters for any sports action before any sports action on the strip. 6020 West Flamingo. 1 pound ribeye, just $22. You can also get the garlic marinated bistro filet for $22. You get a veggie of the day. You get your choice of a side. $22 for great steaks, best value steaks in town. And if you don't want a steak, I mean, they've got fish, the Baja Tacos, breakfast from midnight to 4 every day. It's Jackson's Bar and Grill, 6020 West Flamingo. Get in there. Chef Lonnie, our buddies, hand-cutting the steaks every morning. Just $22 for the ribeye or the filet.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
On a Tuesday, it's time to go behind the counter with William Hill. Ray Cleaver is up with Willie and Cofield, and we're just looking at the WNBA board, the pregame. Let's bring in Ray to talk some NFL, maybe a little WNBA. What's up, Ray?
How we doing, guys?
We're good, man.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. WNBA tipping off today in less than 10 minutes with Atlanta and Indiana. Wanted to get your take on this game, dream or four, but I know William Hill also has an odds boost on Mitchell, 20-plus points, comboed with Aliyah Boston, 10-plus rebounds. You can get that at +320.
I know. For every $10 you bet, you can win 32. I mean, that's a pretty good bet. It's hard to believe that the WNBA playoffs are going on without Caitlin Clark. I really thought they'd just cancel the whole season, call it a day, but we got some excitement tonight, so might as well make some money with it, too.
Let's talk about Thursday night football. Bills are 11.5 at William Hill against the Dolphins. Again, you've got some odds boost here. Let's start first with the possibility of James Cook with 90-plus rushing yards and a touchdown has a pretty good payoff near 3-1.
Yeah, you got plus 275 on that. You know they're going to be ahead. They'll be running the ball. I mean, same way we got another boost with Miami where Hill and Waddle each get 70 yards receiving. Let's face it, they're probably going to be behind and throwing the ball on every down. The only question is, can Tua get them the ball or not? But that's plus 375, so you can step up and get more than the average parlay with the odds boost at William Hill.
Ray, what if I make the case that the Dolphins will be ahead and the Dolphins can win this game? I'm crazy?
I don't know if you're crazy. They might catch Buffalo at the right time. You know, these Thursday night games tend to be lower scoring affairs for some reason over the past few years. And, you know, how much grief can Miami take? It's got to be tough to be on that ball club, having a coach that understands that you have to win the game, not lose it. And, you know, you got to go home and your neighbors are on you, everybody's on you. When does the frustration point make you play better? So, I don't know. Most people that I have talked to over the last 48 hours are leaning towards taking Miami in the points.
Wow.
Three college football games during the week, one Thursday, two Friday. Couple of line movements with the Thursday game, Rice and Charlotte, but the one that intrigued me, Tulsa at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State opens around 14. It's down to 12.5. I see 11.5 at one place, but people not believing in the Cowboys.
Well, let's face it. They went to Oregon and lost 70-3 or whatever it was. It was a lot to a little. But, I mean, in all honesty, this game might set football back 40 years. Both teams are really on a downswing. There was no doubt that line was going to drop. Oklahoma City shouldn't be giving 14 to anybody. Oklahoma State, I mean. So I don't know if I can play Tulsa either. It's one of these games where both teams are not good. Who do you take? Who do you like more? I don't know. When I have two bad teams, I just lean to the dog and hope.
Ray Cleaver's with us from William Hill. Back to the NFL. I'm very bullish on the Buccaneers. Maybe I'm too crazy on it. You guys have them at William Hill 10-1 to win the NFC. Packers, Eagles, I think we can say they're the number one and two team. Who is the number three team in the NFC? I know your odds board says it's the Lions, but what do you think?
Well, you got to remember with odds, it's not a prediction. It's based on money, and apparently a lot of people in Michigan are betting Detroit. San Fran, we get that Reno crowd up there. They come across from San Fran in northern Nevada. They love the Niners. My pick, if I had to walk to the window and bet, I love the Rams. And how can you not love the Buccaneers at 10-1? Yeah. I do have a question for you, though, Steve. Do you think Tampa Bay let them score last night?
Hard to say. What do you think?
I really do. I've watched that replay probably 20 times. I was at work today
looking
at that play, and I've watched it over and over, and I just think they let them score. And they won't admit that they did, but they said getting the ball back with Baker, why Chubb went in the end zone. They could have easily won the game, just fall down at the 2-yard line, kneel it out, kick the field goal, game over, you win. Instead, he got the touchdown, rah-rah, and Baker turned his Baker magic.
He did.
So I do like Tampa Bay. I love their defense.
Rick Cleaver's with us. All right. Let's look at week three numbers. And we were just talking about all the backup situations. We had a double backup situation here. This one's pushed up a little bit to 3. Vikings 3 against the Bengals.
It's the only game on the board that I have already personally played. And it wasn't on a side. I don't know how this game opened at 41 for a total. The Bengals defense is terrible. Browning's going to throw the ball all over. I believe that Carson Wentz is an upgrade from J.J. McCarthy. Look at the receiving core that both teams have. They're going to find a way to get the ball. And if they don't, they're going to turn it over and score. I think this game goes into the 60s. I really do. I think Bengals-Vikings, it wouldn't surprise me if it's 35-31. So I just think there's going to be a lot of points, and I think it might be the most enjoyable game of the week.
How do you approach – we're going to talk you as the better, not the guy behind the counter. How do you approach games like Jaden Daniels where he's questionable? Do we play it like he's going to play? Do we play it like he's not going to play? It's ticked up a little bit. Commanders are 3.5 against the Raiders.
I think I look at the injury and I look at their schedule. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jaden has a shot at playing this week, and really? I really don't. They play Atlanta next week. They need that game. If it comes down to playoffs, it could be Washington and Atlanta in a tiebreaker. They need to beat Atlanta. He's young. You got to have a long-term look at this. One game isn't going to matter. And the other thing is I think the team rallies around Mariota. The Raiders are not a top-tier team. We're playing Atlanta the following week is a big game for the Commanders as far as the playoff hunt this early in the year. And I really would be shocked if Jaden Daniels plays this game. Mariota will probably start, and the team will rally around him. And I've got an adage that the time the quarterback is making his first start, the team rallies, bet on him. Game two, bet against him.
Battle of undefeated teams, Philly and the Rams. I think it's a downtick from 4.5 to 3.5, but could be a statement game for the Rams.
Could really be a statement game for the Rams, and they had a little bit of a scare early in the game this week at Tennessee. And playing the Eagles, there's another old adage, when you have two 2-0 teams through history, just play blindly, play the dog. In this case, I don't think it's blind. I think getting 3.5 with the Rams, because if you watch the Eagles play their first two games, they definitely are not playing what we saw at the end of last season. I think the Rams are going to go in. Last year in the snow game in Philadelphia in the NFC playoffs, the Rams really outplayed the Eagles, lost by 2. Now they get a shot, supposedly good weather. Stafford will be winging it around. And I really think with Kyren Williams running the ball that the Rams are going to stay in that game.
Rick Cleaver, William Hill is with us as we break down some of the Week 3 games. Go behind the counter here. So on your side, what are you seeing with Steelers and Patriots and why the Steelers number on that side has jumped up to 1.5?
I think the Steelers are absolutely a public team. I think people expect when they play poorly that they're going to bounce back and play well. They obviously are one of the top teams as far as fan base, and people love to bet their favorite team, Steelers, Cowboys, Packers. They just love to bet their top team. Patriots haven't exactly looked good. They struggled to get the win at Miami, and they lost to the Raiders in week one, and I believe that the public sentiment on the Patriots is still down a bit. And I think people are just looking at last week's game with the Pittsburgh and Seattle as kind of a blip on the Steeler radar. They think they're a defensive team, and they gave up 31 points. So I think the Steelers may even go higher. It might go to like 2.5.
I guess a similar situation with the Niners as the Commanders with Jaden Daniels. There are stories out there that say Purdy may play, may come back pretty early here. Niners 1.5 against the Cardinals, but I see a lot of action on the over, which has now moved up to 43.5.
Well, I think Mac Jones surprised a lot of people last week the way he played, and I think they're saying, okay, if he can play like that, Cardinals, who knows what about the Cardinals? I had 27-3, and if you had the Cardinals in Survivor, your blood pressure was through the roof. You've probably gotten a physical this week to see if your heart's okay. So, I mean, I think that people do believe that's going to be a high-scoring game, and every time you think a divisional game's going to be high-scoring, it ends up being 20-17.
Ray, I got 30 seconds left. You guys have Breeders' Cup up at William Hill already?
Yeah, we do. You can go in there and bet sovereignty or journalism or any one of the horses that you want. The race is November 1st. Get your Breeders' Cup early. If you got an edge, now's the time to get it.
Ray, we're up against it. Great spot, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All right, Steve. You guys have a great week. Let's make some money.
There you go. I need to. Ray Cleaver's with us from, or was with us from William Hill. Download the app. You got a $250 bonus available if you match that with your initial deposit. Some of the cool things on the mobile app with William Hill, they've got adjustable betting odds on baseball with a slider. That, you know, it's going to change the price. I know this week you could bet badminton, which I like badminton. I'm not sure I'm an expert enough to be. I can't even do the NFL. They're offering badminton now. Update, by the way, the SO, significant other, is in the Pro Pick'em contest. Hasn't gone 15-0, which you need to do, or 14-1 to win the 10K weekly prize. But so far, she's 23-5. Not bad. Not bad. Trying for that dream $1 million bonus. All she's got to do is get 215 wins on the season. Let's go.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So we went behind the counter with Ray Cleaver, William Hill a couple minutes ago. We'll go back in front with our ilk, Sam Panayotovich from Bet Sweats, in less than 10 minutes. So UNLV is back in action. They're going to be on the road, Miami of Ohio. It's in Oxford, Ohio. That is a short jaunt away from Cincinnati. Hamilton is in that area as well. We'll do a impromptu Boomers broadcaster bites. I'm doing the show until 9 o'clock Eastern on Friday with you. I will be in Ohio. That means the eats will be late, which I'm trying not to do, but you know, when you go on the road, you got to sample the local fare. Doing the research. I'm calling sources. But here's something that complicated the whole damn thing. I forgot. What does Ohio have for fast food? What is my favorite fast food that I never get unless I'm in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, or Florida? Everyone else hates it.
Don't know.
It's the chili. The Cincinnati chili.
But I didn't
think the Skyline chili.
Fast food. Yeah.
I'm off the air. I'm off the air at 9, Willie. The Skyline in town closes at 10. I have Caleb Herring on this trip. Caleb's on every trip. He's one of the stars of the broadcast. He's very finicky.
So gas by 11.
He's very finicky. Madden Everett, we were because we text about the important things during the week. Maybe not the game prep, whatever. But Madden Everett's like, Caleb, you got to try it. And I'm like, he's not going to try it. We're not letting him try it because he's going to ruin the experience for me.
Who's more finicky, Caleb Herring or Miles Simmons?
I haven't been out a lot to break bread with Miles. I think Caleb is more. There was a story last year in one of Utah's buffet places. It's Chuck-A-Rama, and he just destroyed Chuck-A-Rama. Not in a good way. Like, he didn't destroy the food. He hated it.
I was insulted.
And I was like, man, this guy's tastes are way too elevated to eat the – my tolerance of low-level food is pretty incredible. I'm not mad at humans because he's insane with his fast food. So what do I do? I think the solution is I have to find a bar that's open late that will serve Cincinnati chili so I get my fix, but I can't take him to this restaurant because he's going to hate it.
So Skyline Chili isn't just like a singular specific place serves it. It's something that is just served all over
It's Cincinnati chili. We actually have a place here that tries Cincinnati chili in Vegas. Now, here's the thing. I did some more research. Sorry, the show's very under-prepped today because it was more important to look up chili. It's not under-prepped, but there's another place that I know of, Gold Star Chili. That is open till midnight. So I think what I'm going to have to do, go somewhere with those guys to eat. These are first world problems, right? This is a rough life. I'm going to have to go somewhere to eat with them at a local restaurant or bar, and then I will have to stop off on the way back. I will then have to stash the food. And remember, the game starts at noon, so this will be basically like a brunch meal the next day. They serve chili hot dogs. They serve chili spaghetti, which unless I have a microwave at this fine stadium in Oxford, Ohio, I might be eating it cold. Or do I just be a selfish? I've worked with people who are like, I'm going on the road and I'm going where I want. And if you want to go, you can go. If not, I'll go by myself. What do I do, Willie? I'm a team player.
I think you go get your chili.
Griffin?
I think you look past the finickiness of Caleb Herring.
Make him try it?
and you let him try it. You make him try it, and you, you be a good teammate.
And then accommodating to everybody else. And he's the finicky one. How about he just pick something up and everybody go get chili?
Eh, we got to break bread together.
What is your...
I'm a giver.
How about this?
I'm a giver.
How about this? What is the best canned chili?
Well, it's not the same. It's a different kind of chili. I don't know. I don't know what it is. This is another one. When I buy canned chili, it's garbage. I don't want to name brands that are garbage, but like
I have to go with Denison's.
Okay, but it's not the same kind of chili. You understand. Cincy chili is different, and that's why people hate it.
No, I get it.
Steve, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Caleb has been very not polite with the Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears rhetoric we've been having. Yeah, make that guy taste the chili. Make him, even if he hates it, make him finish the whole freaking
bowl.
Worse
than that, if I made him go get this chili and then he was sick for the game the next day, I mean, what a disaster. And it would be all my fault.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's bring in Sammy P on a Tuesday. Sam, nice job last week with the scoop on the Ole Miss quarterback injury.
Worked out. Lane Kiffin, full of it, man. Just not somebody you can trust. And I think I don't know if we talked about it, the three of us, but Lane Kiffin's one of those guys. You know, there are several that I'm not going to get into names, but there are coaches in the college and the pro ranks I just don't trust. And for Lane Kiffin to take his starting quarterback off the injury report on Thursday and have everybody think that he's going to play.
Yeah.
And then the initial report that we had was that he was hurt and he was in a boot all week. To have that come true, but the head coach take the kid off the injury report and then he doesn't end up playing, that's a problem. And that's the biggest difficulty, I should say, with betting college football, because there's no legit way to report injuries. In the NFL, they come out, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We know what's up. We know who's on it. We know what the injury is, and we can follow it accordingly. In college, coaches lie, and it's been happening for years.
How would you police it? I mean, how do you penalize Lane Kiffin?
The guy makes so much money, I don't know what you do. I mean, if you give him a $100,000 fine, I don't even know that busts the seal. His salary this year, annual salary for Lane Kiffin, $8.75 million.
Wow.
So if he has to cut a $100,000 check to lie to the media, so be it. He's not gonna, stop. I mean, that's nothing. That's $100,000 to him is like a $10 bill, maybe a $5 bill. I don't know. I think if you maybe take away scholarships or you take money away in NIL, he's certainly, and he just proved it, he's not afraid of whatever the fine is going to be, because he just pays that out of pocket or he has a booster pay it. But if you start penalizing the program and put a dent in recruiting, I think that would get people to line up accordingly.
I got an SEC question kind of from out of left field, but I think it's really pertinent. After what we saw last week with Alabama and then the Georgia-Tennessee game, how do you view those teams now? How do we handicap them? Are they all like super elite again? I mean, I'm going to say again with Alabama. It's not like they fell off the face of the earth because the FSU lost. But do we look at those teams as, you know, the dominant programs now in the SEC? Do we handicap it that way?
There's just so much parity right now at the top. And what I mean by that, let's not just focus on the SEC. Let's look at the entire country. In my power ratings, I'm pulling them up as we speak, the top seven teams are separated by 4.5 points.
Wow.
So that's Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Miami, all separated by 4.5 points. The SEC, I mean, it used to be the cream of the crop. If you go back to the middle 2010s and roll that through the early 2020s, we're talking about the Alabama Saban dominance. And then you get to the early part of the 2020s, it's Kirby Smart in Georgia. But my top three teams, I'm looking at it right now, are all in the Big Ten. So I think there's been a leveled out playing field because now everybody's got the gun, right? What's the old saying? It's no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. Well, everybody's got the gun now. Yep. Everybody can pay players. And, you know, I think it's very telling that when NIL started to ramp completely forward, Nick Saban was like, yep, I'm out of here.
Of course it was. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to go be on TV now because he realized that everybody was catching up. And I think he saw Texas coming into the SEC, Oklahoma coming into the SEC, Georgia is a rising power, LSU kind of comes and goes. And then Tennessee has been a monster under Josh Heupel. So he saw this coming. I put it this way. Nick Saban was Usain Bolt, but Usain Bolt can't run the way he runs forever. Eventually, he gets older and everybody catches up. And that's kind of how I viewed the SEC under Saban.
Yeah.
And now you got this playoff where anything can happen in a 12-team playoff for the most part. I mean, these early teams, these teams that are 9, 10, 11, 12 seeds, probably not going to run the table. But those top 7-8 teams with this current format, this landscape, and this changing of the guard with NIL, you're not going to have these dynasties anymore. Teams aren't going to win 3-4 national titles in a row. It's too tough now.
I love the internet donks who are like, Coach, football's ruined. I'm like, it's the best era we're ever going to have. There's players everywhere. Every weekend has awesome matchups. It's chaotic. This is unbelievable.
Sure. I still prefer the old days when number one met number two in the title game, but this is right there. I mean, when everybody had to care about every game, that's the only issue. Last year's Ohio State team, I'm sorry, I don't care what people say, that team saved everything for the playoff. They didn't show you really anything in the regular season, and they didn't have to because they're so talented. They were going to get by just showing you vanilla stuff. I mean, if you go back and watch the Ohio State-Michigan game and watch how vanilla and how boring Ohio State was on offense. And then you get to the playoff, and Chip Kelly's like, watch this. Yeah. They start throwing the ball all over the field. He's got three NFL receivers, and Will Howard is unleashed. And when they pass it deep, you can't stop the run. And they were unstoppable on offense. But they didn't have to show you any of that in the regular season because the 12-team playoff allows all the cream to rise. Every year we're going to say this, the same teams at the playoff. We're going to see Ohio State every year, Oregon every year, Texas, Alabama every year. Notre Dame, maybe not every year, but you're going to see a lot of the same characters in the playoff. I just think it's tougher to win all those games in a tournament-style setting year after year after year. But that's what the playoff does. You know, if you're a talented team and you're a top-five team, you don't have to go 12-0, 11-1. You're going to see these teams get in at 9-3 because of their strength of schedule and how tough they were in October and November. I miss the days when number one met number two. But that's, you know, you can't always get what you want, Steve.
Miami, Florida, 7.5 against Florida.
Is DJ Lagway going to throw 5 picks again?
Yeah.
He was so bad, dude. So bad. And yet they only lost by 10. And that's because their defense is really good. The battle for me to watch in the game is Miami's O-line against Florida's D-line. LSU's O-line is okay. Okay. Miami's offensive line is elite. They've got two NFL guys that are going to probably go in the first round in the coming draft. And their left tackle is a top 10 pick. So if they can hold the Florida pass rush at bay, you got a Heisman quarterback throwing NFL talent all over the field. That game wasn't even close. And even with the weather delay in Miami, USF, Miami just resumed and rolled. I don't have the final score in front of me. I think it was 49-12 or something like that. And people were lining up to bet USF. Now, it didn't help that they had just beaten Boise and Florida. But if Miami wants to roll, it will. And I know 7.5 might seem like a big number. If Miami gets ahead, Florida can't catch up. And think about this. This is a very important game for recruiting in that state. And Miami would love to just rope them and keep doing it and blow them out so that anybody on the fence deciding whether they want to go to Miami or Florida has an easy decision.
Do you have a Friday night special with Iowa in New Jersey?
I can't believe the total's 45.5. That seems high, doesn't it, for Iowa Rutgers?
It does, and I'll just tell you, in the four meetings between the two teams, Rutgers has scored a total of 17 and been shut out twice.
I see, and I overthink it, too. I'm like, oh, I like Rutgers. Why, idiot? Why don't you just take the over? I don't know. I don't know why I can't get there. Maybe I'm just kind of warming to the idea that Rutgers might have an offense. I just think these two teams are – numerically equal. I think they're very, very close in a lot of ways. Okay, you want to say that Iowa's a point or two better on a neutral, fine. I just don't think Iowa should be a three-point favorite on the road. And I'm pulling up the matchups. Let's see, 30-0, 22-0,
yep,
27-10, 14-7. Why am I not just betting the under? I do this to myself all the time. Exactly. I should just play under 45.5, right?
I don't know. I saw Iowa 2 when the first number first came out. I immediately went to my app and bet Iowa minus 2. Until I see it,
oh,
I don't
really?
Believe it. Yeah, I don't believe it.
Okay, you may have helped me get there. It's very difficult to feel great about a play on Tuesday. I mean, it's very rare that I do. And I was happy I was able to come on with you guys last Friday because by Friday, I was licking my chops on Miami. I'm like, hey, Miami's going to kill South Florida. On Tuesday, I'm like, do I really like Rutgers or do I like the under? I'm still getting to the restaurant. I haven't decided what I want to order yet. It sounds like, just talking to you for 5-10 minutes now, it sounds like I should just go under 45.5.
Same could be said for yours and I thought last Friday on the 49ers while the world was on the Saints. Are there any underdogs that in the NFL you're looking at this week?
Oh, Willie, I'm on some ugly dogs. Ooh, woof.
Hey, someone's got to take them to the prom.
I'm thinking about Cleveland at home against Green Bay. Cleveland's getting 8.5. I don't know if you guys have heard, Green Bay's going to the Super Bowl. So that's already decided on September 16th. So I find myself on the ugliest of leans. I haven't bet anything yet in the NFL. Looking at Cleveland, though, +8.5. I'm looking, as I say this, I want to vomit. Carolina at home catching 6 against Atlanta. Because, you know, Atlanta just won on Monday night, and now Atlanta's, Sunday night, rather. Sunday night was Atlanta. Now Atlanta is the trendy team, and now they're laying 6 on the road. I don't know. I'll probably get to either Cleveland or Carolina, and I'll tell you the trendy dog this week. Everybody's going to bet the Rams catching points at the Eagles. Be careful with that one.
Be careful, Willie. Be careful with the Rams.
Are you on the Rams, Willie?
I've been talking about the Rams. I've been giving numbers and stats. We haven't picked anything.
We've committed to nothing.
I just was talking.
Everyone's going to make no picks on Tuesdays now.
Yeah, no. Steve's on fire today, Sam P. Just don't ignore him. Ignore him.
Do you remember in two for the money when McConaughey starts making the weekend picks on Tuesday?
Sorry.
Pacino says, you made Sunday's picks on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And McConaughey goes, if you want next week's picks, I can get you those by Thursday.
Wow. Yes.
When he started getting really cocky.
Yep. Okay. How about this run right now? NFL closing favorites of 4 points or more this season are 12-0 straight up, and it's a run that goes back to last year.
It makes me sick, man.
I hate it.
If you go back to week 13 of last year, if you're an underdog player, get ready to pull out the doggy bag. Yeah. NFL favorites since week 13 of last year that are -4 or bigger. So -4, -5, -6, -7, you get it. They're winning outright at a 90% clip. 90. So it's been very, very easy. Just take those favorites, 4 or higher, and moneyline wheel them. 3 of them, 4 of them, 5 of them. The bookies hate it. I know the Vegas guys hate it. They cry every week. Will an underdog ever win outright? Think about what happened this week. Your big underdogs that won were the Patriots, who were +2, the Colts, who were +2, and okay, maybe the Falcons at +3.5. These bigger dogs are getting slaughtered.
Sammy, we appreciate it. Maybe we have to switch the spot to Fridays. I don't know.
Maybe we do both.
I think you're busy. I think I always worry about booking people on Fridays, especially East Coast, because, you know, it's kind of the witching hour. You're ready to go to the weekend.
Believe it or not, that slot on Friday is not bad for me. It's tougher during the day, but the time that we did last Friday, maybe we can work something out, pal.
Just a footnote for you.
My agent,
Sammy,
will call yours.
Just a footnote for you. Steve's in big trouble this week. His new favorite team, Buccaneers, are hosting his old favorite team, Jets.
Yeah, my old time. Is that right? I like Baker and I like the Bucs. Now I've dropped the Jets, apparently. Putting words in my mouth, but I never do that to anyone else. So, Sammy, we're up against it, buddy. We'll see you.
See ya.